All right, and welcome to the free stretch here on JoeBucksFan.com. I am Bobby Fenton, and I'm going to say this right off the bat because, you know, this is a podcast, so it's not live radio. People listen to it at all different times. You might be listening to this show on Thursday afternoon. You might be listening to it on Friday morning or Friday afternoon. Could be the weekend, could be next week. You can listen to these shows anytime you want. So with something like this, it's more important to be clear about when I'm recording. And I usually say I'm recording on so-and-so time. Right now, for example, it's 12:38 p.m. on Thursday, March 12th. And I usually just throw that in there at some point in the show, although it really doesn't matter that much on most shows. Obviously, today and this week, it does, because things are changing by the minute in the world of sports with the status of the COVID-19 virus and all the things that are being canceled or having fans removed or any of the number of measures that are being taken across both sports and society as a whole. So by the time you hear this show, even the stuff I'm talking about could be sorely out of date and things may have happened that haven't happened yet. So just know that right off the bat, I wanted to make sure I say that. Obviously, we're going to talk a lot about what's going on today. I don't care what your interest is, and this does affect everything. I mean, the Bucks, for example, Jameis Watch, the whole Tom Brady, all that stuff going on. Everything with the NFL is probably going to get delayed. Free agency, everything else, all the deadlines, the franchise tag, everything else. You know, none of that's happening right now, and that was supposed to start happening. So if you want to look at it purely from a football standpoint, there's that. But of course, this is so much bigger than just football. And with all the things going on right now, I just want to make sure you all know that as I'm talking about this, I'm giving you everything I've got up to the minute as of, again, 12:39 now on March the 12th, Thursday here, as we have seen most of the, I think there might be one left, but most of the conference tournaments in college basketball have been canceled. Of course, the NBA has suspended its season as of right now. And by the time you listen to this, it will probably have happened. But as of right now, the NHL is going to make an announcement at 1:30. I suspect they'll be suspending their season as well. But again, hasn't happened yet officially. By the time you hear this, it probably will. Same thing with Major League Baseball spring training, which is, I think, still being played today, but may not be by the time you hear this. And everything else. Golf, tennis, Major League Soccer is on the shelf for a while. Basically everything. So I was listening to the radio this morning, because I still listen to sports talk radio, and I had the Dan Patrick show on. Of course, he was talking about all this too, just like everybody else. I enjoy Dan Patrick, as I do a few other shows. But what he said I really agreed with, and, you know, there's so much we don't know. I am not going to pretend to know anything that I don't know, as should all of us take that advice. I mean, you know, there's nothing. I'm not trained in disease. I'm not a doctor or anything like that. I'm smart enough to listen to people who are. And, you know, I'll say things only that I know to be true if, you know, they're really actually true. But he said, you know, at this point, looking too far ahead, I mean, we don't know what this is going to be and how much worse it's going to get. It's possible, you know, these things, maybe at the end of the day, all this will end up being overblown. I've got a lot of friends who've been like bitching, oh my God, I'm supposed to go to the Lightning game next week and I can't believe. Listen, man, we don't know, okay? And it's very possible that it ends up being true that maybe this wasn't as necessary as we thought, but there's no way to know that. It's one of those things you cannot know until after the fact. And so, you know, when you do stuff like what's going on with all the cancellations, all the things going on, and these are major moves, and these are not moves people are doing just for show, okay? There's a lot of money being lost. There's logistical nightmares. Nobody's doing this just to pat themselves on the back and say, yeah, man, we canceled it. Look at us. This isn't about being PC or anything like that. Nobody wants to do any of this, okay? This is a huge, at minimum, at its most innocuous, this is a huge pain in the ass. You know, and at worst, it could be a defense mechanism against people. It is a defense mechanism against people getting sick and getting killed. But even on the bright side of it, if it's nothing more than just an inconvenience, it's a huge inconvenience, okay? So nobody's doing this just for show. But these things, when you are sitting on your couch or sitting in front of your laptop on Twitter like I often am or whatever, it's really, really easy to just fire off opinions. Oh, they ought to do this or they ought to do that. And it includes me. I do that all the time, okay? When you are the guy, when you are the man or woman in charge, and it actually comes back to you, whether you're Mark Emmert of the NCAA, who's still, as of now, the NCAA tournament is still on with no fans, but by the time you hear this, it may have already been canceled or postponed. I don't know. But if you're Mark Emmert, if you're Adam Silver of the NBA, if you're Gary Bettman of the NHL, if you're Roger Goodell, any of these leaders, any of the smaller, the conference commissioners, the PGA, if you're the guy it comes back to, okay, or girl, it's a hell of a lot different when you're the one making the call and you have to sit there and weigh, well, you know, maybe we could get away with playing this, but you know, what if it spread between just a few people, you know, and what if just one or two people, it was really serious, maybe one of those one or two people actually passed away. I mean, just that alone, it's an incredible weight, it's an incredible burden to be in charge of things like this. And I'm not saying I feel bad for anybody of the people in charge, because when you're a commissioner of whether it be an entire league or a conference or whatever, that's why you make the big bucks. That's why you're in that position, assuming that you're in that position because of your leadership ability and because of your intelligence and things like that. This is the type of stuff you have to do sometimes. But I'm just going to say it's not easy. That goes for the people I like as well as the people I don't like in leadership positions. Now, it is, again, possible that at the end of all this, we look back and say, oh, man, can you believe we canceled that stuff? It wasn't even that big of a deal. You know, everybody's fine. But then you look back and say, well, is that because of the cancellations? Like, were the cancellations unnecessary or were they effective? And there's really no way to know that either. So, I mean, listen, I'm annoyed, okay? I'm a sports fan. This thing has been in the news for a while now, and I'll be honest with you, I didn't give it much thought at all until when? Until it started affecting the sports world, which has happened rapidly in the last 48 hours as of this Thursday afternoon that I'm recording this. But I didn't raise an eyebrow. There's been things before. I'm not the type of person that worries about these types of things normally. But then I started hearing, oh, you know, NCAA tournament could be in jeopardy. And before this all happened, I mean, just hearing about possibilities, I was like, well, you can't have, you know, the NCAA tournament's got to go on. I mean, it was just no way they're canceling that. Then it became more of a realistic possibility. Then I started thinking about the Lightning. I mean, the Stanley Cup playoffs are getting ready to start. We're all geeked up. Lightning are going to get their shot back after last year's disaster. We're going right back after it, baby. Here comes the cup. Then I started thinking, well, that might be in jeopardy, and now it looks like it may be. And, you know, again, these things could be paused and restarted in a couple of weeks. They could be completely, you know, you could eliminate the regular season and just pick it up and start the playoffs. If it's NBA and hockey, that's kind of the point where they might be. I have no idea, but my point is there's a lot of scenarios right now. So getting back to what I was saying about Dan Patrick, he said, you know, we really just need a two-week pause button right now. Just take 2 weeks, just stop everything. None of these, like, will they or won't they? None of these, let's do this, but just without fans. No, just a two-week, you know what, we're putting everything on hold. Everything. And toward the end of that 2 weeks, maybe we'll have a better idea. And maybe it will be obvious that we didn't have to do all this, but maybe it will also be obvious that we need to keep things canceled for the foreseeable future. I have no idea. I'm not making any predictions. But I thought that was a good idea. Like, I thought that was something that, just as it pertains to sports now, I'm not talking about the overall handling of the disease. That's a whole other show. But just as far as sports goes, I think everybody could just say, hey, 2 weeks, we're just going to stop everything and then just pick it up right where we left off after the 2 weeks if it's okay to do it at that time. And if it's not, then obviously we'll know more when we know more. So I thought that was like reasonable and something that, and that could still be what happens. I mean, you know, nobody has said they're canceling anything ongoing. They have canceled events like tournaments and things like that, but like the NBA has suspended its season, not canceled it. The NHL, when they announced later today, and again, if you're listening to this, you probably already know it, probably already happened, but I suspect they will also suspend, not cancel. And depending on how long that lasts and how much new information comes in, it'll determine what goes from there. And the same with the NFL, which fortunately is not in season right now. And can you imagine if this happened during football season? Like, as big as all the stuff going on is right now, like imagine trying to tell, especially like college football, like some of these SEC, these just nut job Alabama fans or LSU or any, you know, just say, oh no, you're not coming to the stadium. We're not doing that. And a lot of these kooks, you know, are still some of the ones that think the whole thing is a hoax and things like that. And I'll say this right now. I'm not going to get too political, but it is a question worth asking if we would be in this position if it would have come to this. And I'm talking about the cancellations, not the actual disease. The disease would exist no matter what. Viruses don't care who's in charge or anything like that. But with the lack of advanced preparation that we have and have had for a few, a few years, okay, it is worth asking if we'd be as far along into this and having things canceled right and left, were we more prepared? I know for a fact that preparation allows for early containment. What we are witnessing right now to me seems like, as a society, we're paying the price for a willful lack of government preparation. And I stress the word willful. And the free stretch, as a policy, you know, we don't get too political very often because there's no need to, because it doesn't bleed into the world of sports. But now it does bleed into the world of sports. So now I will tell you what I know to be fact. And that is, once again, let me repeat, preparation allows for early containment, and we are paying the price for a willful lack of government preparation right now. Not just in sports, but in general. But I do believe, and now this is opinion, I do believe we probably wouldn't be as far along with all of these types of cancellations that we're seeing were we more prepared. Now, as far as the draft goes, you know, it's not during football season, but it still affects the NFL. The draft, we don't know yet. Maybe you'll know by the time you hear this, but right now we don't know what's going to go on with that. The draft is the type of thing that you could conduct and still televise, that you don't have to cancel because you don't have to have the mass gathering of people. It's not an actual competition. People are just sending in picks. You could have everybody at their individual war rooms in the 32 different team headquarters, and you could have the league at the league office, which I believe is how they used to do it anyway, like before the draft became a big deal. And you could just do it that way and still televise it and, you know, have guys in studio, all your analysts and stuff. So I don't know. I mean, I'm just throwing stuff out there. I don't know what they're going to actually do. Or you could delay it. Or you could stick to your guns. And this is a tweet that came from Adam Schefter a little while ago. And again, I just keep repeating during the show when I'm recording this, because things are changing so fast that you need to understand that what you're listening to, you know, what time it was when I said all this stuff, because things by the time you hear this could have changed drastically. But as of 12:22, Adam Schefter tweeted, this is on Thursday, March 12th, the NFL said it has no plans, and I'm quoting now, no plans to move the start of the league year. So as of now, free agency and all that stuff is still supposed to go off next week, legal tampering period, all that stuff hasn't been moved yet. Does that mean it won't? I don't know. I mean, these are, again, different than, much like the draft, these are different than athletic competitions. They don't require anybody to compete with anybody else. It's transactions we're talking about. It's technical things we're talking about. Teams can still sign players to contracts. People can still make phone calls. People can still meet with each other in small settings. We're talking about the large gatherings and the traveling and things like that. So, you know, maybe they have a draft like normal, only without a bunch of people there. Maybe they have free agency like normal. I have no idea. Maybe they blow up everything and they delay it all. By the time you hear this, maybe that's already happened. But as of right now, the NFL is saying no changes to anything yet. And they have that luxury because there are no games going on right now and practices or anything like that, which are a much different thing than drafts and free agency and things like that. Of course, the big story, I mean, even as of 48 hours ago, maybe even 24 hours ago, what was the big story this week around here? Rick Stroud wrote a piece in the Tampa Bay Times. The headline read, or at least the online headline read, Tom Brady watch why the Bucs are going all in. Tampa Bay's pursuit for a QB starts in New England. After that, Teddy Bridgewater and Phillip Rivers are high on their list. So it appears, I'm not going to say anything has changed, because this may have been the case all along. Remember, I always tell you, we don't know. So it's not like, oh, it's changed now. They probably were interested in Brady all along. But my thought process has changed because I really believed, and it might still be true, but I really believed Tom Brady was a very unlikely option. The Bucs seem to think they can get him, and they are going all in to try and do it. In Stroud's piece, which I won't read all of, but I'll give you some excerpts. But he says the Bucs are going all in on Tom Brady. He says, if we reach the legal free agent tampering period Monday at noon and Brady is behind door number two, Bruce Arians and the Glazer family will try to kick that sucker down for touchdown, Tommy. This is not hype. It's hope. This is fact, not fantasy. This is the plan. This is the Bucs play. He goes on. And again, I'm just reading excerpts of this. When the deadline for designating franchise and or transition players comes at 11:59 a.m. on Monday, assuming that's still what happens, expect outside linebacker Shaquille Barrett to be tagged, barring a last-minute agreement on a long-term deal. The Bucs are not guaranteeing Winston $27 million as their franchise player. At high noon, the legal free agency tampering period will commence, and Brady's agent Donald Yee will have the Bucs on call waiting. He goes on to talk about how the Glazers are still Jameis guys, and they are. I mean, the Glazers are the guys who drafted him along with Jason Light. Dirk Cutter's not here anymore, but the Glazers have always felt an affinity for Jameis. They like him, and he points out how the only way they would consider maybe they don't want to move on from Jameis for just some dude, but he points out that they probably would, even the Glazers, be okay with moving on from him if it was Tom freaking Brady. He says the Glazers never get cheated. They take their cuts. Usually it involves head coaches. Of course, the Bill Parcells thing, we know what they did with Gruden. But Stroud goes on, the Bucs will try not to take no for an answer. If it's money Brady wants, it's hard to imagine any team outbidding the Glazers. The Bucs have $80 million in salary cap space. He's 43, but if it's a 2 or 3 year contract he wants, sure, why not give that to him too? If it's weapons, the Bucs have those, and if it's control of the offense, there's no question that Arians and offensive coordinator Byron Leftwich would adapt to Brady rather than the other way around. So, like I told you already, it's hard for me to get my mind wrapped around it. It certainly seems more possible now than it did a week ago, and a week ago it seems more possible than it did 2 weeks ago. But it's still a hard thing. I mean, ESPN even reported, it was Diana Rossini, ESPN NFL insider, said the Bucs, and this is a quote, are willing to give Tom Brady the things he needs, he wants. Some of those things he wants, control over the roster. He wants to be part of making decisions on the play calling. If Brady wants control, Bruce Arians is the guy he should match up with. So, first of all, two things here. Number one, if Tom Brady's going to do this, remember, Tom Brady feels like he can still play, has shown he can still play. The level he played at last year, we can debate that, and in fact, we will debate that in a little while, and how it compares to Jameis, not just in terms of interceptions, but in terms of other things too. But he can play. He's still, even though he can play, not just playing, just to play. He wants to win again. And Tom Brady has to believe, not you and me, like fans, like, oh yeah, the Bucs can do it. No, Tom Brady has to believe that either the Bucs or anywhere he's going to go, that team is a team he can take over and be a Super Bowl contender on right now for this year and next year, however many years it is, not much more than one or two. He needs to believe that, all right? And that's why a lot of people feel like, well, you know, there's probably other better options. Tennessee was in the AFC Championship game, on and on and on. Hey, listen, I don't know, but I do know this. The Tennessee Titans, and anybody in the NFL, the line is very fine. You all know that already from watching the NFL. The Tennessee Titans faked a punt against the Bucs. The Bucs snuffed it out, drilled their punter, trying to fake the kick. The ball squirts out to the turf. We return it for a touchdown. We're probably going to win the game. They blow the whole thing dead, okay? Because they think the guy was down. He wasn't. Now, the Bucs would have been up, but there still would have been, whatever it was, a minute and a half to go. I'm not saying the Bucs would have automatically won the game. The Titans could have driven down and gotten the game-tying or game-winning score, whatever. But my point is, if they call that correctly, the Titans dropped to like 3-7. They were reeling at the time. That win galvanized them and got them going forward. The Bucs, of course, did also get hot later in the year, but ended up limping in at 7-9. There's not that much of a... just because the Titans were in the AFC Championship game last season and the Bucs missed the playoffs does not make those two teams that different. It really, really doesn't, okay? Just like the Bucks and the 49ers, when they played 2 years ago at Raymond James Stadium, they were both garbage at the time, but the Bucks just thumped the 49ers, just beat their ass, and they weren't really that different either. A year later, 49ers coming off 4-12, go to the Super Bowl, go to the Super Bowl. They lost to the Chiefs in the Super Bowl, and meanwhile, the Bucks are still out there missing the playoffs. These things every year, it's not like, oh, we have to have our window and our windows closed. If you just be around it, you got a shot. It's the NFL. There's only 16 games, maybe 17th pending. But you know what I mean? I mean, like, don't act like, oh, the Titans, they're way more Super Bowl ready than the Bucks are. The hell they are. They're really not. I'm not saying they're not better than the Bucks or worse. I'm saying, well, whoever's better or worse, both of those teams are very close to each other. Very, very close. And it could just as easily be the Bucks than the Titans or the Raiders or whoever any of these other teams are. Maybe even up to and including the Patriots themselves. You know, they're a little bit different because they have Belichick. But I can believe that. Can Tom Brady believe that? Will he really believe that? I don't know. And, you know, obviously there's still an option. He stays in New England. If he doesn't stay, there's still an option to go to other teams. It's very hard for me to picture him in a Bucs uniform. But hey, whenever this whole thing gets going after the COVID-19 is done, whether it's on schedule next week or whether it's bumped back, whenever free agency gets going, all this stuff's going to start happening. And the Bucs now, it is more apparent than ever that they are ready to move on from Jameis Winston if they can find the right guy, and they think they've identified at least one of them. Now, going on and reading Stroud's piece, he says, what's the pecking order for the Bucs? After Brady, it's Bridgewater, then Rivers in that order. But he says, Winston may still figure into the equation too. If you're letting him talk to 31 other teams, though, you must be willing to lose him when the new league year begins at 4 p.m. on March 18th. If the new league year begins at 4 p.m. on March 18th, which is up in the air now for non-football reasons. But he says, and I'll finish up here on Stroud's piece, which I recommend you all go read. Maybe, this is talking about Winston, maybe he goes into the market and discovers there is not a team willing to hand him the starting job with starter's money. Winston at $18 million to $21 million for 1 year and the ability to retain most of the Bucs' defense may make the most sense for both, but that's not the plan. That's not the play. The Bucs are all in on Brady. Super Bowl 55 is in Tampa. The Bucs and Brady want to get there. Why not do it together? End quote. Good work by Rick Stroud, who does a great job as the Bucs beat writer for the Tampa Bay Times. And so there it is. I mean, that's what they want to do. Now, whether they'll be able to do it or not, this does not mean Jameis Winston isn't going to be the quarterback in 2020. He still very well may be. I would put, if it was me making the order, I would put Winston above Phillip Rivers and probably above Bridgewater too. And both of those guys rate a little more, not a lot more, but a little more higher than Jameis does just based on their performance last season. But just my opinion, I'm just saying I still would rather have Jameis than either of those two guys going forward. And I've talked at length on this show about how I'm, at least in my mind, factoring in an improved Jameis. You know, if you told me we're getting the exact same Jameis, big numbers, yards, TDs, but the interceptions, no, that's not good enough. But I think that Jameis in the second year of Bruce Arians' offense and having a better understanding of what he's trying to do, I think that will help eliminate the negative plays. Not all the negative plays, obviously. You're always going to have some with Jameis, but I think that will help to cut down on those while still keeping the good stuff, the yards, the TDs, and everything like that. So that's what I'm factoring in. It doesn't mean that's what's going to happen. But then what about Tom Brady? I mean, if you look at Tom Brady's 2019, you know, Tom Brady was absolutely stellar. I mean, obviously his whole career, but even in recent years, going up to about 2017, he was really good. Took a step back in 2018, took another step back in 2019. Here's what Pro Football Focus, who evaluates like every play on a play-by-play basis, every individual player by position, all that stuff. Just one outlet. But here's what they say about Tom Brady. After playing perhaps the best football of his career from 2014 through 2017, Brady took a slight step back in performance in 2018 and yet another in 2019. They go on. This season coincided with his worst group of playmakers in years, which is a valid point. That's me talking now. And obviously that wouldn't be the case with the Bucs. But they say the result was an uncharacteristically mediocre statistical performance for Brady. Heading into his age 43 season, Brady is less likely to be able to carry an offense as he has in the past. We've seen an uptick in his negatively graded throws and turnover-worthy plays over the past 2 years. And we've seen in the last two seasons, or last season, a downtick in Brady's play under pressure and his outside of structure plays, which is natural. The older guy wouldn't maybe be so good in those situations where you have to move faster. But he is still capable of moving the chains with his signature good decision-making and accuracy. It's just a matter of creating more opportunities with a versatile group of playmakers, which obviously is what the Buccaneers have. Brady this past season ranked just 23rd in big-time throw percentage, but he was 8th at avoiding turnover-worthy plays. All right, so let's go to the flip side of the coin with Jameis Winston, who, and by the way, they had Brady ranked in their quarterback rankings 12th for 2019, scrolling down a bit now to reach Jameis Winston at number 21. Here's what they said about Jameis. There's never been a dull moment in Winston's career, and his throw-for-throw inconsistency has actually led to a surprisingly consistent career in which he's landed between 68.4 and 73.7 in overall PFF grade every season. The path is never a smooth one, as Winston annually ranks among the league leaders in positively graded throws, but obviously also right there near the top in turnover-worthy play percentage. They say even if Winston never cuts down on the negative plays, his aggressiveness creates big play opportunities in the passing game, and in any given year, a couple of lucky bounces on the bad decisions could lead to a top 10 caliber production. It's a big if, but it's also a worthwhile roll of the dice in a situation with top playmakers and a strong pass defense. Again, we do have the top playmakers, I think, in this offense that would suit him and have suited him. The key stat for Jameis, pretty much the anti-Brady, he finished 3rd in percentage of positively graded throws, much higher than Brady, but he was 32nd in avoiding the negatives, which we all know about. So, and to me, it's just, that's what it comes down to. I mean, I think you're going to get less from Brady of the aggressive stuff, the downfield stuff. Obviously, it's Tom Brady. He knows exactly what to do with the football. He knows exactly where to go with it. He's not going to make a dumb mistake, which seems like that was our only problem last year. So you think, oh, Tom Brady, he just won't do those bad things that killed us last year and we'll be fine. That's true, but you have to remember you're also going to be losing some of the good things that came with Jameis as well. And it's a calculus. It's one the Bucs have made. They've decided, and I'm not saying I blame them one bit, but they've decided that Brady is worth pursuing even as he is in decline. And remember, it's kind of like a carton of milk. Like it's kind of going a little sour, and you might notice it just a little bit that last day or two. You're like, this milk may not be okay. I think I'm okay right now. And you'll maybe make your bowl of cereal, and then boom, like a day later, it's gone. It happens fast, right? So is Tom Brady that expiring carton of milk where, yeah, he's starting to decline. 2018 wasn't as good as 2017, and 2019 wasn't as good as 2018. And is 2020 going to be like, oh, God, he needs to retire? You know, that could happen. Like that, people just act like, oh, yeah, Tom Brady, get Tom Brady. He's awesome. You don't know for sure what you're getting with Winston. You don't know for sure what you're getting with Brady. He is getting older. And I know all about Alex Guerrero and pliability and the TB12 method. Hell, I've tried to read a little bit about it because I'm big into, you know, physical fitness and stuff like that. And like Tom Brady, although I'm 3 years younger, I'm approaching 40 this year. And guess what? I'm battling crap all the time. Now, Tom Brady, you know, he plays a position, and the way he plays the position, he's able to avoid a lot of the hits. But sometimes you got to run. Sometimes you got to do things. I mean, he's not going to be as good at those things anymore. Your arms start, all that stuff. Like, stuff starts happening. And he's got 3 years on me. I think Adam Gase was the one they asked about Tom Brady. I think Adam Gase is terrible, by the way. But I'm just using this one Adam Gase quote because they were asking him. And they said, hey, well, you know, what about Tom Brady? Like, you know, how do you approach preparing for him? You know, even at this age, does he still present the same challenges? And Gase said, well, let's see. He's older than me, and I feel like bleep. And that's kind of like how I'm feeling with Brown. Like, well, he's 3 years older than me, and I'm just trying to stay afloat right now with my regimen. I got a pulled muscle here. I got another torn muscle there, stuff like that. And listen, I don't have Alex Guerrero, like, following me around all day helping me. I'd love to be able to do that. But the point is, like, this thing with Brady could really backfire too. Don't just assume, oh, hey, we're going to get Brady. We're going to go to the Super Bowl. It could end up being a disaster. And at least it wouldn't be a disaster in that we'd have given up draft picks or something. But you could make this move, and it could derail the franchise temporarily just as much as Jameis Winston throwing a bunch of picks does. So there's nothing for certain in either of them. The Bucs have decided that Tom Brady is the play. And again, I'm not saying I'm going to be upset if they get Tom Brady. I'm saying just understand there are no automatics. There are no, oh, we'll get Tom Brady and all our ills will be cured. The Patriots offense was not good last year. Now, that part has to be mitigated by the fact that they had nobody. If you put Brady in an offense like this one, it could be a completely different story. But it also could be the expiring carton of milk that is, wham, really sour, really fast once it starts to go. Email me if you want to. BobbyGameDay@yahoo.com is the email address. BobbyGameDay@yahoo.com. On Twitter, you can get me at BobbyGameDay. One more thing. And the only reason I put this at the bottom of the show is because of the COVID-19 virus. I feel bad for the Corona beer people. I really do. I'm going to use the scientific name. I think they got hosed. I think it would suck. You know, if I was the CEO of Corona and you're humming along and everything's going fine, then they name this disease after your drink. And, you know, people are not bright. Like, people are generally not bright. So even though Corona beer has nothing to do with coronavirus, their sales are taking a hit. They're tanking. And that sucks for them. So I'm going to try and do my part and use the scientific name, COVID-19. But the point is, the only reason I didn't bring this up at the top of the show is because of COVID-19. That's obviously the pressing thing. But there was news this morning, folks. And it's positive news. And we still haven't seen anything yet, okay? But Paul Lucas at UniWatch, who is one of my earliest Twitter followers, I think he's one of the first guys I ever followed on Twitter, at UniWatch. And he writes, he has a website that follows the, you know, basically the uniform scene in sports. And some people think it's dumb and nerdy, fine. But I'm as interested in that as I am a lot of actual sports things. He has now reported this morning that he has seen, with his eyes, not heard about, he has seen the Bucks. New uniforms. And so he gave a whole big description, and then he actually had a mock-up guy, like almost like a police sketch artist, like based on his description, make sketches of the uniforms, which he then looked at and said, yeah, that matches pretty closely what I saw. And basically what the Bucks have done is keep it simple, and according to what Paul Lucas has seen, essentially go back to the template that they wore from 1997 through 2014. Identical to it, but close. So I'll just read you what his description said here. He says, there are two jerseys, red and white, and two sets of pants, pewter and white, which is what we've been used to. The pewter pants will not be as shiny or metallic as the old ones because that's the reality of the fabric being used these days. He says the red jersey has white block numbers outlined in black, but no orange layer, at least that he could see. That part is curious because, one, just a red jersey with a black outline on the numbers is going to look too much like the Falcons. And two, if you look at those little clips the Bucks tweeted out, those uni previews, they hinted at orange. But anyway, and the old Bucks jerseys from 1997 through 2014 had a little orange trim on there. But I'm just reading what he said. He says, the Buccaneers' word mark has been restored to the chest, rendered in black. Block TV numbers are on the shoulders, no stupid fonts. And he says the Bucs' current ship logo, so the new one with the red sails, appears on the sleeves. Fine. The back of the jersey has the same white numbers outlined in black along with white nameplate lettering. The white jersey, he says, follows the same basic design, but with red numbers outlined in black. Again, no orange that he could see. The chest word mark is once again black, same as on the red jersey. He says he was not able to view the back of that jersey, but it would follow that it would be pretty similar to the front, just like the red one is. So far he's describing almost identical to what the Bucks have worn in the past before this most recent disaster. He says the pewter and white pants both feature fairly wide red side striping with black outlining. Again, no orange layer that he saw. The socks for both pant options are the black over white half and halves, which is what the Bucks wore before. He says he has not seen the new helmet, and this is the key. But he says he has been told that it's mostly the same as the current helmet, pewter shell, oversized logo. He says they're going back to a black face mask, according to what he's been told, instead of chrome. And he says the shades of pewter on the helmet and pants will match up more closely than in the past. He goes on to finish, I have not seen the Color Rush design, but I'm told it will be all pewter. So instead of all red, they'll just go with a pewter jersey and the pewter pants. So if that's true, and if you look at the mock-ups, and I suggest you go check this out if you're at all concerned about this, it looks pretty similar to what we're used to from the Bucks. Again, if there's no additional trim on the numbers, and this is why I said I like, you know, just basically going back to the old uniforms and then just tweaking them a little bit with striping and trim and things like that, because it does kind of look like a Falcons jersey. And the Falcons are changing their uniforms too. I don't even know what they're going to be wearing. But the red Falcons jersey that we're used to, it looks similar to this if you just have white numbers with that black outline. I would have used pewter. I wouldn't make black much of a have much of a role in the uniform. I'd focus on red and pewter, and I'd outline the numbers in pewter on the red jersey. And, you know, even do like the old ones, just that little tiny sliver of orange, just a little throw, just a little nod. Not enough to interfere with the uniform, because if you make it too big of a factor, then it doesn't look good and it clashes with the red and pewter. But the orange football on the logo, of course, will always be the nod to the old colors. And, you know, as far as the pewter helmet goes, I said before, that's important to me. I know people want the white helmet just because they want to be able to wear a throwback, and you know I love those uniforms, and if it was up to me, they never would have changed from those. But since they did, you have to maintain consistency, and a white helmet simply does not look good with red and pewter. You need that pewter helmet. Plus, when people look at that shell, pewter helmet, red jersey, pewter pants, they think Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Like, that's what people think of when they think of the Bucs, and that needs to stay that way through not just the years, but the decades. So, again, can't say anything definitively until seeing these. There might be something that I don't like about them once I see them, or I might like them even better than I think I'm going to once I see them. But this bodes really well. And the main word I would use to describe reading this morning was just relief. Because I'm so worried about how they could mess these things up given their track record and given Nike's track record. And so if this really is what it ends up being like and it's just we're all just back to normal, then keep your grubby hands off it and let's just go for the next few decades and just ride it out, okay? Because that's what the good and the great icons do, like the Cowboys and the Steelers and the Packers and Chiefs and all those teams that look so gorgeous every Sunday, the Raiders and teams that you don't have to worry about looking like a freaking clown show and never knowing what they're going to come out with. So let's be one of those teams. Great news. I'm going to wrap the show up now, folks. Let me tell you something right now, okay? We're going to do our podcast. I don't know what's going to happen next week yet. As of right now, oh, and by the way, there is some new news that even at the top of the show was different. The NHL has officially announced that they are pausing their season, and they use the word pause, and I appreciate that from them because, like I said, my ideal suggestion here, to me, what we should be doing is just kind of putting a pause button on everything, not canceling, not saying anything's not going to happen. Let's just take a couple weeks and see where we are. And so the NHL still hopes to have a playoffs and award the cup. Obviously, there are too many things we don't know as of this recording on Thursday afternoon, but that's as much as we know right now. And basically, it doesn't look like there's going to be many sporting events between now and the next time we talk. In fact, there probably won't be any. I think the golf tournament, the Players' Championship, is still going on as of right now with no fans. We'll see if they actually do that, but either way, all this stuff with the NFL, the free agency and everything, it doesn't require the things that live sporting events require. Maybe they'll keep doing it. As of now, they haven't changed any of it. Obviously, Jameis Watch has been ongoing for so long, we're all dying to figure out what the Bucks are going to do. We may have to wait a little longer now. But either way, just stay safe and listen. You know, it's not about hysteria, it's just about common sense. So try to do the things they suggest, try to practice a little bit of the distancing, try and keep clean, all that stuff. And other than that, let's just live our lives, it'll be fine. You know, this is not hysteria, this is just precaution. I don't like when people tab it as hysteria. So be safe, have fun. Joe Bucks fan, thanks to them for giving me this platform. Bill Curry Ford, our friends, go down there right now and check out the website, BillCurryFord.com, C-U-R-R-I-E, BillCurryFord.com, home of the nationwide lifetime warranty, 10 years, roadside assistance, 1 year free service, you get all those things, or go see him a mile north of Raymond James Stadium on Dale Mabry Highway, and my friend Sean Sullivan will greet you with the Joe Bucks fan discount if you mention us. Thanks to them. Thanks to you guys for listening. We'll be back next week. Who's going to be the quarterback? We still may not know, or maybe we will. But what I do know is that no matter what happens, through virals, through anything else, I'm a Bucks fan, you're a Bucks fan, our team's not going to have ugly uniforms anymore. Wherever you are, good morning, good afternoon, good night, and go Bucks.